Hello and welcome to another edition of Pop Fishbowl. I am your host, Ezekiel McAdams. How are you guys? Sorry for the delay. Life, yo. So very quickly, that music that you just heard was by Saskatoon band Killjoy, which is kind of a pop punk infusion. And a quick aside, so I covered this festival, Taste Saskatchewan, in my city about two-ish weeks ago, and this was one of the bands. This is one of 57 bands that was performing all week, and the lineup that they performed on in the afternoon was basically an all like female fronted band thing. There was Killjoy, there was Jezebel, and there was The Wolf, and it was amazing because for me anyways, if you've listened to this podcast, more women in media is something I very strongly advocate. I'm the guy that will go to a comic shop and pick up comics if they're written by women writers, if they're starring female characters. I will pick it up on that alone. I watch movies that are directed by women. I watch, you know, stuff like that. And the same applies to music. And so it was amazing for me. That afternoon will go down in memory, for me anyways, as one of my favorite concerts of all time. And one of the reasons I loved Killjoy so much is because they had such passion and raw talent and so enthusiastic that it was infectious. Like you can tell when people love what they're doing, they love music, and it was just a joy to see them perform and to have two amazing female bands that followed them. Like it was just, so that was Killjoy. Like I said, they're a local band. They have their EP coming out later this summer. So that was kind of my way of continuing support for them. So whether you're in the city or not, you should check them out. They're on Facebook at Killjoy Sask. They're on Twitter as well as Instagram. Check it out. That song that we just listened to is one of their singles, Therapy. They've got another one, XO, that you can find on YouTube. But yeah, check it out. And so that said, this episode is also dedicated to my friend Jordan, my internet friend from the States. You can find her on Twitter at Cinegirl, so C-I-N-E. Girl, and you can also follow her blog, Indie Darling, which is just kind of her random pop culture thoughts on just the world and Indianapolis, because Jordan lives in Indy in the States. So this episode is dedicated to Jordan Brown. So that being said, sorry guys, again, it's been like a month. I apologize. I try so hard to kind of keep this pod consistent, where every episode is every week, and then I can follow a theme and da-da-da-da, but sometimes, as you know, life just kind of takes over, and this very instance, life took over, so that's what I've been dealing with. I think I mentioned this last episode, but I will kind of reiterate that one of the things that I've been very busy with is working on my website, and you can find it at www.culturegecko.com, all one word, and that is just kind of a way for me to write about the stuff that I am passionate about, from theater to music to comics, video games, movies, interviewing people, because I have a very broad range of interests and I love interviewing people. Interviewing, honestly, is like one of my favorite things. When I first started doing journalism, that is the thing that kind of got me into it, because I've always been a writer and a storyteller, but when I started to be a reporter, I was just like, oh, I can tell stories this way too. This is another way to tell stories. And so it's my favorite thing, yo. So that's what I've been working on. So pop culture is an extension of Culture Gecko, and you can please follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, even though I really suck at my my sites. Instagram, I just don't know what to do, so you guys got to help me. Like I do social media and I understand it, but sometimes I'm just like, well, I don't know what to do for Instagram for this particular article or piece. So yeah, help me out. Send your comments, suggestions, critiques, insights at popfishbowl@gmail.com. So that is the announcement. So anyways, what I wanted to talk about this week was just all, like, again, all the stuff that I've been working on. But my particular theme this week was horror. So I've mentioned this in the past. I love like paranormal doc shows. I love horror shows. And I've been really excited watching this show that's on like a channel in Canada. It's called T&E, short for Travel and Escape. And they have a new show. It's Evil Encounters. And so I've watched two episodes. It's brand new. It premiered a couple weeks ago. And basically it's, you know, it follows that story of people basically reenacting and retelling their particular story. So the episodes that I watched focused on Bigfoot. They focused on ghosts in the woods. But the scariest one, so this episode, it was called Games We Play. And it focused three people. The two were young boys who were playing in the woods. And then all of a sudden they heard this whistling. And there was like this dark figure, and it followed them home, and they couldn't figure it out. So that was one. Another one was just various ghosts and stuff. But the third one, the thing that was scariest, because you could see it happening in reality, not that, more so than ghosts and strange noises in the woods, was these boys, like in the late, I want to say 90s or 80s, as kids do, they had a treehouse and kind of a clearing area that was very secluded, so not a lot of people went there, specifically not adults, and kids love that. They love having their own space. Not that adults don't, but so they had built this clubhouse and this clearing, and then one day they're going to the clubhouse and they see this man, and he's slowly walking, and they recounted that he seemed to have a purpose in his steps and his stride. And they accidentally alerted to him of their presence by stepping on a twig. And when he turned around, he was wearing a clown mask and had an axe. So it's like, it's out of a horror movie. That's like some Friday the 13th, like Leatherface kind of stuff. And like, I'm not even a child. Like, I'm 30 years old. If that happened to me, I would be so frightened. I would be so terrified. And so this man in this clown mask, he's chasing them, and the kids split up because they're trying to like, well, we'll all split up and then we'll disoriented him. And so of course one of the kids is not as fast as the others and he's straggling. And so the guy in the clown mask catches up with him, and it was only through one of the other kids who hit him on the back of the head with a twig who knocked him out. And then they basically ran home. And that was the end of the story. They never, came back with police or anyone else. And so the identity of this masked man is forever unidentified. They speculated that it was the owner of the apartment building they all lived in, and he was trying to scare the kids. But still, that's frightening. That is absolutely frightening. Like a show that's about paranormal encounters. Like I said, the thing that scared me the most was that, because that is something that could happen more conceivably than ghosts and stuff. But I love this show, Evil Encounters. T&E is just, it's like the best feeling of the day, coming home from work and watching shows like A Haunting or Paranormal Survivor or Paranormal Witness. The other one that I love is Mysteries at National Parks. Like, I just love that stuff. It's totes my jam. And so that, speaking of other horror, so I'm really afraid to watch the new trailer for Stephen King's It. The new adaptation comes out in September, and funny story. So when I was a kid, when I was in high school, I rented, when we still had video stores, I rented like the TV miniseries, because I Stephen King was and is one of my favorite writers, and I had rented this, and it traumatized me. Someone bought the video for me for Christmas, and I own it, but I never watch it, and it's something I hide, because just seeing Tim Curry as that kind of iconic clown just gives me nightmares to this day. And I bought the book to read it, and I think I only made it 200 pages in, because like I was 15 at the time, and I was at my cabin, and I'm reading this at like 2 a.m, as you do, and I have a very powerful imagination. It gets me into trouble. Like, it's part of my problem. Like, I love horror movies so much, but then I get scared, and then I need someone to hold my hand and come over, right? And people are like, why don't you just stop watching horror movies? And I'm like, no, like, I like them. I get scared because I have a very active imagination, so you need to protect me. So it's almost like my plea. Will someone please come over and like hold my hand, and we can watch the It trailer together? Because I'm going to get terrified. if I see that clown pop out of the sewer or something like that, I will not be sleeping, not only tonight, for the rest of the weekend. Like, just on that alone. So, but it's very good. And there's a bunch of horror movies that I want to see. I want to see the Belko experiment. There's something, it's called Virus, and it's about, like, zombie vampires or something. I don't know. It came up on this. I have this little app that shows me all the new horror movies that come out. And, like, some of them are cheesy. Like, speaking of which, I downloaded this movie called Blood Runners, and it's basically like, it's a very B cheesy movie-esque, which I love bad movies, but this was about Prohibition vampires, and it starred Ice-T. Like, how can you go wrong with Prohibition vampires starring Ice-T? And I got all excited, and I watched it the other day, and I was gonna write an article about it, and it was too bad. Like, it wasn't like so bad it was good, it was just so bad that you want to tell everyone you know to not waste an hour and a half of their time. It was terrible in every single way. So that's the last horror movie I watched. It was bad. Like, it wasn't scary. There wasn't a good story. And one of the biggest tropes that I hate in all media, including the horror genre, is one when, like, it's usually a male director and a male writer, but they don't give female actors anything to do, or they just basically make them the damsel or the bait, and they don't have any personality or any character development to them. And there were just so many moments in that film that, like, angered me, where I wanted to, like, throw a brick at my screen, because it was like, what are you doing? And then I, like, went on IMDb after it, and I'm like, yeah, it was written by a white guy. Yeah, not surprised. Sometimes white men just annoy me and I want to punch them, and I'm a white guy, but it angers me. I really, really need to see Atomic Blonde this weekend, because Charlize Theron is everything to me. She, like, her performance as Furiosa in Mad Max Fury Road was everything to me. It was like, I wanted to be Furiosa when I walked out of that movie. It was just her and the Volvani, and I was just totally inspired, and it made me love Charlize Theron even more than I already did. I've, like, gone and watched movies that she's in just to see them, because she's in it. So I need to see Atomic Blonde. That'll make me feel better about the lack of female representation in media, is just Charlize Theron punching all the men in the face. And, you know, set to an 80s soundtrack that's like power punk and power ballads and stuff. Like, that's all I need in my life. I don't know why I'm even continuing with this pod, because I need to run to the theater right now and see it. But anyways, so that is my little kind of horror rant. For books, I am still reading Firebrand by A.J. Hartley, and if you remember, that's the second book in the Steeplejack series. It's a YA about a young woman, Aang Satonga, who kind of becomes a detective when one of her pupils, like, she's a Steeplejack, gets murdered, and she wants to clear his name. And then she just kind of continues with it. And I love, Steeplejack was honestly one of my favorite books that I've read, certainly one of my favorite YA books. But I'm just, guys, I don't know, do you have any advice for me? And again, send this at popfishbowl@gmail.com, because for whatever reason, the last month and a bit, my brain has been going, like, full blast, and I cannot sit still to read. Like, I'm alternating between Firebrand and American Gods by Neil Gaiman. I'm still working on both. And I'm so stubborn, I don't want to watch the American Gods TV show, because I want to be one of those snobby, pretentious book readers and read the book first, and then, like, count all the times that the TV show deviated from the source material. So I mean, like, that didn't happen in the book. She had red shoes and she had glasses. Like, that just ruined the episode for me, because that's what I like to do. So, but I can't just, like, the other day I sat down to read Firebrand. I was like, okay, Zeke, you're going to finish this book. You're going to get it done. And I read 20 pages and I wasn't feeling it. So I'm going to try again this weekend, because I'm really enjoying it. It's not that I'm not reading the book, because it's just not any good. It's very, very good. But I don't seem to have the energy to kind of sit down and read. My thoughts are elsewhere. So speaking of elsewhere thoughts, I've been making my way through TV slowly. So I've ranted about this before, but there's too many Netflix shows. Like, I love Netflix. Netflix is such an institution at this point. I love their content. Like, Orange is the New Black is one of my favorite shows. Kimmy Schmidt is one of my favorite shows. I love Grace and Frankie. But there's just, like, I still haven't watched Daredevil. I still haven't watched Narcos. I still haven't watched Marco Polo. I haven't watched any of Sense8. I haven't watched any of the new stuff, like Dear White People or 13 Reasons Why or Girl Boss or Ozark or Friends from College. Like, the one show I watched was Castlevania. And I wrote that for work because nobody was watching it. And I was like, oh my god. Okay, Netflix just drops an anime based on, like, a Nintendo game from the late 80s. I have to watch this. And I just, like, and it's to the point that, like, Netflix has just too much content. And they need to take a break so that I can watch it. So I've made this list, and I feel so overwhelmed at this point. So I'm like, I'm going through all the stuff that I basically, it's on my backlog. So the two shows that I was watching throughout July were two CBC, and to my American listeners and international listeners. So one of the channels that we have in Canada is called CBC, and it's basically, you know, it's as old as, like, the American channels like ABC, Fox, CBS, NBC, and it's basically as old as the BBC in the UK. And so there were two dramas. There was Pure, which was about the Mennonite drug trade. Yes, I said that. I'm not joking. It's kind of like a Mennonite take on Breaking Bad. It's about a preacher who gets kind of sucked into this. He sends one of the drug traffickers to jail, and so he becomes the boss. And then he kind of tries to work the system from within. So he's the boss, but he's also trying to take it down at the same time. And it was 6 episodes, and it was good. There were things I really liked about it. There were things that were really frustrating, because a lot of it was just the standard tropes that we've seen throughout. But the guy who played the preacher, who sadly I forget his character's name, was really, really good. And I loved his wife. I loved the actor who portrayed his wife, because those two actors and characters and their relationship within the show was really good. So I watched Pierre, and I finished that. And I also finished Bellevue, which starred Anna Paquin. And it was about a transgender teen who is murdered, and it connects to this case from, like, 20 years ago that she was involved with as a young child, because there was this guy who sent her riddles in the mail. And so somehow these two cases were connected. And I really enjoyed it. Bellevue grew on me. Like, I watched the pilot, and the pilot kind of intrigued me. And I watched the second episode, and then just life with everything going on, I kind of slogged through it and finally just sat down and watched all of Pier. And then I made myself watch all of Bellevue so I could go on to the next show on my list before I start any of the Netflix shows. Because Netflix, you're overwhelming me, yo. And I really enjoyed it. Once Bellevue was over, I was like, my God, this is a fantastic show. So that's what I've been watching currently. To no one's surprise, I've been watching Twin Peaks. I have been enjoying the hell out of it. It is, oh God, it makes me sad. Like, when nobody's watching this amazing show, and it's like every Sunday, it's like, it's Twin Peaks Sunday. I get my cherry pie. I get my coffee. I have no idea what David Lynch is going to do. Like, he's such a genius and an artist, because he's doing this without any social marketing, without, you know, he's basically, they throw up GIFs on Twitter and Instagram, and that's it. And you know, every episode begins, and you have no idea what's going to happen, other than, like, Kyle MacLachlan's going to play multiple characters, and it's just a joy. It's just an absolute joy, and it actually makes me really sad, because there's only 7 episodes left of the season, and I'm worried, guys, because, like, what if Twin Peaks ends, and this is it, and they don't wrap up everything? And it's just, it's making me really sad, because this show is everything. This is like God's milk, and it's a gift from the heavens. And it makes me so, so ridiculously happy that I cry when I'm eating my apple pie. Like, all that's left is, like, the remnants of, like, you know, of kind of red stains, which was the cherries and my tears, you know, in a aluminum bowl. yeah, so that's, and honestly, I'm being like really stubborn. Like I really want to watch the season of Orange New Black that came out because they ended on a cliffhanger. I really want to watch Queen Sugar. If you guys aren't watching Queen Sugar, go and find a way to catch up, because it's, if you haven't listened to previous pods, it's created by Ava DuVernay, who is an amazing director, who directed Selma. She directed a doc called 13 that's on Netflix. It's about prison and the prison system. She's also directing the upcoming Wrinkle in Time adaptation for Disney, and she's the first Black woman who's directing a production of this magnitude, and it's so amazing. And I need everyone to see Wrinkle in Time and for it to make an enormous amount of money so that she can keep getting work, because Ava DuVernay is one of the truest talents of our filmmaking generation right now. So anyway, she created Queen Sugar, which is about this Black American family who runs a sugar cane plantation. And it's kind of very soap opera-ic, but I mean, you have to remember and realize that we haven't had a lot of soap operas featuring a Black family. And the thing that Ava DuVernay did that's amazing is that like every director of the first season and now the second season is female, which is totally amazing, and I love that. So please watch Queen Sugar. I'm really sad. I think they're like 8 or 9 episodes into the second season, and again, because of my stubbornness to not start any new shows aside from Twin Peaks, I have not watched a single episode, and it makes me very, 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 very sad. I'm so, so behind on TV. So that's TV. For video games, I have not really played anything. So there's really not much I can say. I could tell you to go and play the Jenny LeClue trailer and teaser, because that's just really great. Like, speaking of like women in media, Jenny LeClue is an adventure game that is about a young girl exploring the secrets of her town and trying to help her mother, who's being framed for a murder that she didn't commit. And so I'm very, very excited for Jenny LeClue. For comics, everyone knows how excited I was for Dolphin's Return. I don't know if it had anything to do with me writing a Mary Sue piece a couple years ago, why I was championing why Dolphin is like one of the best characters the DC has ever had, and why she's so important, because there's not a lot of superheroes who are mute and have the power. Like, when I first heard about Dolphin, like, I'm like, okay, wait a sec, she has the powers of Aquaman, she has super strength, and she can live and breathe underwater, she can communicate with animals. Why is nobody talking about her? Why does Dolphin not have her own series? Or why is Dolphin not part of DC's Bombshells? Which, by the way, if you haven't read DC's Bombshells, you should go and pick it up right now. It's written by Marguerite Bennett, and it is about all the female superheroes in the 40s, like during World War II, and kind of like an alternate history where the women are just kicking ass and there's no men. And it's pretty amazing. It's very, very good. And I'm championing for Dolphin to become part of that team, because she's such an amazing character who has so much potential, and nobody has just found the right way to work her. And I just, my dream of it is for her to have her own series written by women. I don't think that a man, no offense to the awesome male writers of the comic industry, some of them I love very much, but like, I think that if there's a Dolphin series, a woman should write it, and hopefully maybe even a deaf female writer should write it, just to have that perspective, which is very, very important. But anyways, Dolphin is back in Aquaman. It made me very, very happy. I bought like several issues just so that my support of her was known. I wrote a piece for my website, and I really enjoyed that. I also read 7 issues of Green Arrow the other day, and I read Misfit City, and Misfit City is basically, it's like the film The Goonies if there were all female characters instead of the group, and it's just this really fun, pulpy 80s adventure-esque story that's basically a meta version of the Goonies, where like the town is called Canyon Cove, and there was a movie film there called The Gloomies that was this pop culture sensation, and a bunch of girls who are friends find this treasure map, and they're all like, we're gonna find this treasure map and go on adventure for ourselves. It's not even really about the money, it's about this sense of adventure. And there's three issues, I've read two, and it is written by Kiwi Smith and Kurt Lustgarten, and it is very, very, very good. I just love comics that like immediately in the first issue give you these well-developed, defined characters, just like that. What else? Kim and Kim, Love is a Battlefield, issue one came out a couple weeks ago by Magdalene Visaggio, and that is very good. I finally finished her other series, Quantum Teens or Go, and I'm very sad because I just need more of that world and that universe. America Chavez series is going very well. And Ghostbusters 101, which is basically the answer to the call Ghostbusters from last year's movie, come to the original Ghostbusters dimension when their universes are kind of fused and they work together. And it is written by Eric, I want to say Birnbaum, but I'm not checking, please. If it's not, my apologies. And it's, the art's done by Dan Schoen, and it is very, very, very good. I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, and I love this comic. This should have been the movie, or this should have been an animated movie, like what they're doing in the comic. It's just amazing. So I'm still working away on some stuff. I've got a few comic reviews that are coming up for my website. I'm just gonna like, you know, kind of plug my website once again, which I'm very, very excited and proud of. But yeah, we're looking at the time right now. It's 27 minutes. I never like to keep these pods long. So I think, my dear listeners, I will bid you adieu. Hopefully next week. I want to say yes, but I'm trying really hard not to commit to things in life anymore, where I'm like, oh yeah, totes. It's totes going to be next week, guys. And then next week comes, and then you hear from me 6 months later. So knock on wood that I will have a new episode next week. But it's life, yo. Anyways, have a wonderful day. Please like and do reviews for my pod at iTunes. Send any emails to popfishbowl@gmail.com. And I'll see you guys soon. Bye.